I asked them if they would sing that song again this morning. Not because it's part of the message or anything like that, but just because I like that song. And I like the way they sing. You know, sometimes people, I remember years ago, or it's happened since then, you ask somebody to sing a song. Well, I already sang that one at church once. How many of you have bought CDs before? How many of you bought a CD, listened to it once, and then threw it away? All right, you buy it because you like it and you want to listen to it over and over again. How many of you have watched reruns on television before? All right, if it's good, you watch it again, right? So what's wrong with singing the same song? Sunday nights we've been singing Here Is Love since last October. I don't know about you, I haven't got tired of it yet. It'll take a lot longer than this to get tired of that. If it's good, what's wrong with it? So I appreciate that. I like that good singing. And I like singing that prepares our heart for the preaching of the Word of God. That's the purpose of singing. The purpose of singing is to set the tone in church for the preaching of the Word of God. So much of today's music is focused on the singing. It's all about the singer. It's not about the preaching. It's not to set the table. It's the main attraction. And that way, when the preacher gets up, it's kind of anticlimactic. And so I like singing that sets the table and gets hearts ready to receive the Word of God. Hosea chapter 10, we're going to look at a couple of verses here this morning as we begin. Hosea chapter 10, beginning in verse number 11. The book of Hosea, which is one of the first of really the minor prophets after the book of Daniel. Chapter 10 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Our Father, we thank you for this place that we have to worship, this place that we can come to. God, you've been so good to us. Father, we're not deserving of the least of all your benefits. Yet, Father, you've smiled upon us as a church. You've smiled upon us as individuals. You've washed us in the precious blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and taken away our sins as far as the east is from the west. God, we're such an undeserving people. Yet, Father, you're such a gracious and merciful God, and we thank you for that. We pray this morning as we digest your word together that, Father, you'd give us something that would nourish us, something that would sustain us. Father, something that would feed us for the days that are before us. God, we need your word. We need to be fed by God. We're fed so often by the things of this life, Father, whether we intend it or not. God, we're bombarded. And Father, we need something which is spiritual. We need something which is pure. So, Father, I pray you'd speak to the hearts of your people. Challenge us this morning from your word. We do pray that should there be one today that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, is not sure they'll go to heaven when they die, God, I pray that during the course of this message, you would just sit down next to them, put your arm of love around them, and Father, by your Holy Ghost, speak to their heart and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Help them today to trust him to whom to know is life eternal. Bless your word, we ask. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen. Here in Hosea chapter 10, God says in verse number 12, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground." That's the phrase I want to focus on this morning. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hold your place there if you would and turn back a few pages to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 4. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 3. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3. We'll go back to Hosea 10 in just a moment. But notice Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3. "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." So we find twice in the Word of God this same phrase, this same commandment by God to Israel, break up your fallow ground. And I want us to consider, first of all, this morning, what does it mean? What is fallow ground? Well, if you look at the Webster's Dictionary of 1828, which was our first American dictionary, so it gives us more the original sense of our words, it tells us that fallow means untilled or unplowed. That's what fallow ground is. It's ground that has at least one time been tilled and fertilized and plowed to bear fruit, but now has sat dormant for a long time and is no longer fruitful, no longer plowed, no longer useful. Or it is a field that had never been useful, never been plowed, and had simply become hard. Ground that at one time was fertile, fruitful, and productive, but now is uncultivated and hard. Fallow ground is good for some things. It'd be good for building a parking lot because it's good, hard, solid ground. It would be good for building a structure, maybe a house or a business, some kind of something like that, but it has a good use. But it would not be good for planting. It would not be good for sowing. It would not be good for reaping. It is hard ground, calloused, dry, unyielding to the elements around it. It needs softening if it's going to be productive. Now, the problem is when God speaks to Hosea and to Jeremiah and talks to them about breaking up fallow ground, he's not talking to the nation of Israel to go out and tie their horses to their plows and get out in the fields and begin breaking up the ground that they live on. In both of these occasions, when you read this, God is talking about bringing judgment upon the people because of the hardness of their hearts. And as he speaks to them about the hardness of their hearts, he gives this illustration. He gives this parable, as it were, and he says, break up your fallow ground. So these two phrases are not dealing with the hardness of the ground literally. They're dealing with the hardness of the hearts of people. Folks that at one time had a heart that was soft, a heart that was pliable, a heart that was cultivated, a heart that was fruitful. But over the years of neglect, over the time of discard, their hearts have become calloused and dry and hard. Can I say to you folks that in the day we live in, it's just as applicable as it was in Hosea's day or Jeremiah's day? We need to break up our fallow ground. We have become so routine in everything we do that hearts that were one time soft and clean have now become hard and full of debris. Lives of Christians that once were warm and tender to God have now become hardened and calloused. And God's admonition to us this morning is to break up that fallow ground. Hearts at one time were tender to the things of God, tender to the people of God, tender to the house of God, but now have been filled with the things of the world and the rubbish and strewn about with stones and debris from all around. And now that tender heart is no longer there, and God's judgment undoubtedly is going to have to come. Unless we break up our fallow ground, Hosea said, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. That fallow ground. Hearts at one time long for the things of God. You remember, has there ever been a time in your life where you were more on fire for God and closer to God than you were right now? And I think many, many, many among us, as we look back, would say yes. It's easy for our life to become routine. It's easy for our church attendance to become part of our life, part of our routine. It's easy for our testimony just to be part of habit. We've been at it so long, we know how to do it. We don't need God to do all that. I don't need God to get up Sunday morning and get to church, back Sunday evening here on Wednesday. I don't need God to help me to do the things during the week that I do that are good things. I've been at this for 36 years. I can do it in my own power, in my own flesh. But that's exactly what God's talking about. When we do that, we become hard and callous. It becomes routine, and we're no longer fruitful and no longer cultivated. Break up your fallow ground. Have we become cold to the things of God? How do we break up the fallow ground? He's told us, he's given us a commandment, break up your fallow ground, all right? We know that, and many of us, hopefully, if we'd be honest today, say, yes, preacher, that's my condition, that's my situation, I need to do that. I can remember a time where my life was much more fruitful for God than it is now, much more productive for God than it is now, much more tender to God than it is now. And so the Lord is saying to us that recognize that, He's saying, break up that fallow ground. Well, that's a simple command to understand, but now it's time to put it into practice. How do we break up the fallow ground? Let me give you three ways to break up fallow ground. Number one, work. That's a four-letter word. Work. It's a word that we don't like to hear. You know what? Laziness produces fallow ground. Laziness produces hard. You know why a farmer's field will become overgrown with weeds and debris and stones and stumps and all? You know why that happens? Because he no longer plows it. He no longer fertilizes it. He no longer cultivates it. He gets lazy, he disregards it, he doesn't take care of it, and it's overgrown with all kinds of things. And if you and I are going to, if we're going to cultivate the ground of our heart and the ground of our life, we can't be lazy about it. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort. The Christian life is all about work and effort, praying, reading our Bible, attending church services, being a witness for the Lord. It involves doing something. We can't just sit back and be receivers all the time. And if we're going to plow up and break up that fallow ground, we're going to have to do some work. We're going to have to plow and we're going to have to pluck. We're going to have to plow, get out there and break up all that stuff, and we're going to have to pull some things out of there. But again, it's going to take some work to do so. Remember what the Bible said over, turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And I've done it again. I've written down the wrong verse. Happens when you change Bibles. I'm looking for the verse that says, no man having put his hand to the plow and turning back is fit for the kingdom of God. Anybody see that verse around there somewhere? Thank you. There we go. Can't read my own writing. Luke chapter 9, verse number 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now there's a common misunderstanding about that verse. He's not saying that that person is not going to the kingdom of God. But he's saying he's not fit for the kingdom of God. When you put your hand to the plow, you finish the job. When you put your hand to the plow, you can't turn and look back and be distracted from what you're doing. You've got to finish plowing. You've got to finish breaking up the clod. You've got to finish getting all the debris out of the blade. You can't put your hand to the plow and then turn back. You won't be fit for the kingdom of God. You'll be an unhealthy Christian. You'll be an unhealthy believer. You'll have a strewn field. You'll have hard and calloused heart if you turn back with the plow. So the Lord says, break up your fallow ground. We've got to get out there and plow it. I remember many years ago preaching a sermon up at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Canton. It was a preacher's fellowship, and the preacher came up with afterward, and he said to me, he said, you really plowed a deep furrow there. That's what the preaching of the Word of God does for our hearts. It plows up that fallow ground. It breaks through that shell of that coating that we've put many times over our life. And it makes us recognize and realize that we're not as close and as tender and as loving of God as we once were in our life. We need to break up that fallow ground. And it takes work. It takes some plowing. There are some stumps that need to be removed. You know what stumps are? Stumps are trees that have been cut down but not completely taken out. We've got some stumps in our backyard out at our house now. We've cut them down. We've cut all the limbs off and cut them all down. And it only takes about a year or two, and those things start sprouting and growing again. The only way to get rid of that thing completely is to go in there and blast out, dig out that root, and get the whole thing out from the bottom. You know what a lot of times we've done as Christians? We have gotten rid of those outward visible sins in our life. We've turned them over and gotten rid of them, but we don't dig it down and get it out by the root. And when we don't get it out by the root, it just begins to spring back to life a little while after that, and our field gets cluttered with stumps that need to be removed. Maybe there's some sin in your life that when you got saved, you swore that off. You got rid of that. You got done with that. It could have been some sin of activity, of action. It could have been a sin of mind, of thought, a sin of language. I don't know what it is, but there's something you got rid of and dealt with when you got saved. And then since then, you've just gotten a little cold about it, a little calloused about it, a little hard about it. You need to break up the fallow ground. You need to get those stumps back out of there. Or that fruit, that field's not going to produce any fruit. It's not going to be productive. It's going to be an old and dirty and debris-filled field because the stumps haven't been removed. Over in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 2, you don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 2, the Lord talks about His vineyard. He said, what more could I have done to my vineyard? I fenced it in, and I cast out all the stones. Sometimes there are stumps that need to be removed. Sometimes there are stones that need to be discarded. They're not stumps. They're not big sins. They're not deeply rooted, but our field is still strewn with stones. Little things that have crept back into our life. Maybe things on television we once said, no, I'm not going to watch that anymore, that we've given place to the devil. Maybe friendships or fellowships that we knew were detrimental to our walk with God at one time, but we've allowed those things to creep back in. Some little stones, not some big stumps, but some little stones. Some little things that have gotten back into our life that have made our life unproductive and unfruitful. You know, the hardest thing in the Christian life, one of the hardest things in Christian life is family and friends and fellow workers. Those three things are the most hard because you can't walk away from them. You ought not walk away from them. That's our ministry. That's our outreach. That's our witness for the Lord. We have to keep a bond with our family. We have to keep a contact with our friends. We have to work with our fellow workers. And yet at the same time, if we're not careful, those little stones come back our direction. And those things that we once knew were contrary to God's will for our life, because we're surrounded by those that do those things, and they're not big things, they're not stumps, they're little stones. We get back and we surrender to those things, and our life becomes hard and calloused and unfruitful, and we don't even recognize it. You know, a field doesn't go from a plowed, productive field to a hard, calloused, dry field overnight. It doesn't happen quickly. It happens over time. There may be days of neglect, or weeks of neglect, or months of neglect, or years of neglect, where no one's out there getting the stumps. No one's out there pulling out the stones. And after a while, that field looks like it's never been cultivated, never been plowed before. We need to break up that fallow ground. There's stumps that must be removed, stones that must be dislodged. There's soil that must be broken up. Soil that must be broken up. Notice in Hosea chapter 10, at the end of verse number 11, he said, Judah shall plow and Jacob shall break his clods. Now, you know what clods are, big clumps of dirt. Anybody that's planted a garden knows that when you're going to plant that garden, you want that soil to just sift through your fingers. You don't want it to be that fine. You don't want sand. Nothing will grow in sand. But you want to break up, you want to rototill, you want to plow that garden till all the ground in there, because if you've got clods and then you sow the seed and the seed gets underneath that clod, it's never going to receive water, never going to get sun, never going to get nourishment. The seed's not going to grow as long as the clods remain. And so God told Hosea in verse 11, Jacob shall break his clods. You've got to refine the dirt, refine the soil. If you want your life to be productive, you've got to refine the soil. Maybe I'm talking to a Christian. You've got the stumps out. Those big sins, you've gotten the victory over them. Thank God for that. You've not allowed them to grow back. That's good. Maybe you've dealt with the stones. You've gone through the field. You've picked up the stones as God revealed them to you and said, you know, I've got a problem with bitterness here. I've got a problem with anger over here, a problem with my tongue over here. And you pick up those stones and you begin to cast them all out. You're getting that ground ready so you can plow it. But now there's the clods. You say, boy, the work's just never done, is it? No, it never is. To make that field productive, to make that heart yielded to God, it's going to take a lot of work. And you go out there and you begin to break up the clods. You say, well, preacher, how do you do that? By that book right there. You begin to break up the clods. Never ceases to amaze me that when you read the Bible and you think you got you think you got everything in order, everything's just fine, and then you read that book and read the example of some other Christian or some other man used by God or some woman in their trials in the Bible, and you say, well, you know, I've got something like that in my life. I need to deal with that too. And there's just one thing, one clod after another that needs constantly to be refined and brought out so that the fruit can grow. We need to sift that soil. We need to break up those clods. We need to break up that dirt. It's not for lazy people. Closeness to God is not for lazy people. It's not a matter of sitting isolated on some mountaintop in a white robe waiting for the Lord to come back. No, living right with God and living in fellowship with God is hard work. That's why so many Christians don't bother with it. Because it's much easier to be lazy. It's much easier just to take what comes and not cultivate the field. God said, break up your fallow ground. I said, there are three things you need to do to break up fallow ground. Number one was work. Number two is water. The one thing that's going to soften up hard ground and make it fruitful is water. The Bible talks about the washing of water by the Word. You know, you cannot live in tune with God and ignore His Word. It is impossible. I'm not making a judgment call. I'm telling you a fact. It is impossible to have a soft and tender heart and ignore the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, I'm here on Sunday. Well, that's great. Let's say that the farmer goes out once a week and takes the stones out of the garden. If you've done any gardening, you know that those stones pop up more than once a week. They seem to come out of nowhere. Out of the house we live in, we planted a garden, and our house used to be a LaFleur glass. Used to be a glass factory back in the 50s. And so when we first moved in there, and I worked on our septic system the first time and was digging out there, I came up all kinds of pieces of glass. And then Sonia began to put her garden in next to the house, and we found whole pop bottles that had been discarded, stuff that they'd thrown out, kind of wine glasses, different things like that. And no matter how often, we've been in that house for how many years now and worked that ground how many times, and yet still, when we go out there and plant next year, you know what we're going to find? Glass. Where's it coming from? I mean, we've done this for 15, 16 years. Where's it? It just keeps coming up and keeps coming up and keeps coming up. That's the way sin is in our life. You say, well, I'll clean that field out once and it'll be taken care of. No, you got to keep going back and back and back because the stones, the glass, the debris is going to keep coming to the surface. I don't know where it comes from, but it's going to keep coming back. You've got to break up that fallow ground. And it's going to have to be a regular routine. You need the regular washing of the Word of God. Now, I don't want anybody to raise hands. I want you to say anything. And try not to look guilty. This is November, the 11th month of the year. Are you close to finishing your Bible for the year? Maybe you started in Genesis, worked your way through the Old Testament, into the New Testament. It's November now, almost December. Are you almost finishing that Bible for this year? You say, well, preacher, I don't go by a calendar year. Okay, that's fine. Are you almost done in the last 12 months? The last 12 months? I'm saying again, you cannot get the stones out of your yard without the water of the Word of God. And no matter how good we try, no matter how good a person we are, when we neglect the Word of God, that's what waters, that's what brings the fruit. And too many times we think we can do it without the water. Have you ever seen ground without water bring forth anything but thorns and thistles? That's what dry ground brings forth. And when we don't put the water in, that's what our life is going to produce, thorns and thistles. Nothing productive, nothing useful, nothing pretty, nothing good, but thorns and thistles. We've got to be in the Bible every day. You know, that to read the Bible through in 1 year, in 12 months, takes 15 minutes a day. Now, I don't care. Somebody will say, well, preacher, I don't read that fast. All right, it'll take you 20. 20 minutes in a day will get you through the Bible in 1 year. And 20 minutes is really pushing it because it doesn't take that long. If you read 3 chapters a day, you're going to get through your Bible in a year's time. And you know how long it takes to read 3 chapters? I've got a daughter and some grandkids that are doing that. 7 and 8 year olds can do that. There's nobody here can't do it. And if we don't do that, we're not getting the water in our heart, and our heart is going to be hard and callous and dry. We need to get the Word of God in there. We need to be reading our Bible every day. Not as an obligation, not as some kind of creed or code, but how in the world can we look God in the face one day and say, Lord, the years I spent on this earth, I loved you with all my heart. And He'll say, all right, how about my book? Well, God, I didn't have time. You know, American Idol was on that night. I had to find out who's going to win on Survivor or Lost or the Super Bowl or anything else. We can spend lots of time on lots of things, but 20 minutes a day to read the Bible, that's what makes our life grow. And that's why we don't have any growth when we don't do it. We need to work. We need to water. What happens when water falls on dry, hard ground? You know, when spring first comes and the ground's been hard through the winter, and then if we don't get that spring fall, that spring rainfall, the ground just gets dry and the grass turns brown, and it gets so dry that when that first rainfall comes, nothing soaks in, it all just runs off. Because that ground's so hard, the water can't absorb it. You know, there's a lot of Christians that walk in the door of a church on Sunday morning and the Word of God gets proclaimed and the Word of God gets preached and it's water running off because the heart's so hard. And the heart's so dry, and the heart's so calloused that the water can't penetrate. You know what that ground needs? It needs to be soaked in water. It needs to be submerged in water. And there's the water right there. Why do we come to church Sunday morning? Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Why do we come 4 times a week? You know the answer is? Because the church isn't open 5 times a week. That's why we come 4 times, because if it was 5, then we'd come 5. If it was 6, then we'd come 6. But we come 1 or 2, and we wonder, why is the life not productive? Why is it not bearing fruit? Why is it dry and hard and calloused? We've got to break up that fallow ground. It takes work. It takes water, then number 3. It takes weeding. It takes weeding. Any of you that have worked a garden, you know that those weeds, just like the stones and the glass, come out of nowhere. They spring up overnight. You go out there and weed that garden. You go out there among the corn, whatever it is, and you're pulling out all those weeds. Why do we pull the weeds out? Well, because it doesn't look pretty if we don't. That's not the purpose of weeding the garden. The purpose of pulling the weeds out is because if the weeds remain in the garden, they absorb the nutrients of the ground, and they suck up the water of the ground, and then the seed that's planted gets nothing. Remember what Jesus said of that parable over in, was it Matthew chapter 13, about the man that's sowing seed, and some falls on stony ground, and some falls on the dry ground, and some falls on the good ground? That fell on the stony ground, it had no root in itself, and it withered and died. But that fell on good ground found nourishment. It wasn't among the thorns. It wasn't the thorns and thistles. It found good nourishment in the ground, and therefore it grew and it produced. We've got to pick the weeds out of our life. That's the stones. That's the stumps. That's turning over the soil. Can I say again, we're talking about an exhaustive work in the Christian life of breaking up the fallow ground. And God had to tell us 2 times. He told Hosea, and He told them back in the Old Testament. He said, you've got to pull out those weeds. You've got to break up that ground. Look, if you would, over the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Again, it takes constant effort. Folks, my purpose in preaching this message is to encourage you to break up the fallow ground. All of us need to break up that fallow ground. We need this Bible every single day of our life. I finished my Bible through yesterday. I start again in Genesis today. Go until you finish it the next time and start over again the next day. We continually do that. Why? Because if we want God to make our lives fruitful, we can't neglect His Word. And there's so many other things in this life that demand our attention, demand our affection, demand our time, and some of those that we have to give ourselves to without any doubt. But many of them we give ourselves to that we don't need to, and then neglect the one thing we need to give our attention to. We need to be weeding. We need to be pulling out those things. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Notice the second half of the verse. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. There's that weed. There's that thorn or that thistle that wants to suck the nutrients out of your life. Wants to suck the nutrients out of the ground. Wants to take what little water comes and misdirect it and put it in the wrong thing and let bitterness spring up in our life. And the Bible tells us we've got to go back and we've got to pull that weed out from the root. Bitterness. Anything that's contrary to God. Harshness of thought. Judgmental spirit. Attitude. Whatever it is, we've got to pull those things out. And it takes work. And it takes water. And it takes pulling out some weeds to break up our fallow ground. Go back, if you would, to Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12, where he said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. If we were to have a show of hands this morning, if we were to take a roll call, and say, how many Christians really want to be in fellowship with God? Now think about that question. How many Christians really want to be in fellowship with God? Now we know what answer we're supposed to give. We're all supposed to raise our hand and say, yes, I want to be in fellowship with God. But it's easy to raise our hand and volunteer in front of other folks to do something that we know we're supposed to volunteer to do. But it's another thing down in our heart to say, God, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be in fellowship with you. Because you know what happens when we tell God that? He says, all right, are you serious? Do you mean business with me? You really want to walk in fellowship? Now, don't think that if you say, God, I want to walk in fellowship with you, you're signing up for the life of Job. So that's the first thing that comes to our mind. Well, if I tell God he could have me and use me, he's going to misuse me. He's going to mistreat me. He's going to let the devil have his way with me. No, that's not the way it goes. There's a peace that passes all understanding when you're in the will of God. And so we raise our hand and say, yes, God, I want to be in fellowship with you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to walk close with you in this world so I can be close to you in the next world. Then God's going to say, all right, if that's what you want to do, here's what you have to do. You have to break up your fallow ground. Your heart in this life becomes hardened toward the things of God. The purpose of the devil in this world is to make men's hearts hard toward the Word of God. He's blinded the eyes of them that believe not. And his job is to make our hearts hard. And he uses the world and the society we live in, not just the wickedness and the evil and the ungodliness, but he uses even the responsibilities of this life to overwhelm us, to keep us from that which is most important. And that is breaking up our fallow ground to be fruitful and useful and productive for God. Yes, your hard heart can be used for some things. Just like that hard ground could be used for a parking lot. Could be used for a foundation for a building. It can be, your hard heart can be used for something, but nothing that's going to be fruitful. Nothing that's going to reproduce itself. Only something that can be built to one time be knocked down. But when we break up the fallow ground and we see the things springing out of that ground from in it, when we're working and watering and weeding and breaking up the fallow ground, the Bible says it is time to seek the Lord. Do you have a heart's desire this morning to break up the fallow ground? Maybe God can identify for you the stumps that are in your life. Maybe as you hear the Word of God and you hear the talk about the stumps that need to be removed, the things that came that were once removed but come back into life, you identify those in your heart and your mind. You say, God, I know what the stumps in my life are. God says, get them out. Lord, I know what the stones are. I know those little things that I trip over all the time that I should have victory over. I know what they are. God says, get them out. Lord, I know what the weeds are that are in my life. Those little things that are sucking away the nourishment of my spiritual life and producing thorns and bitterness and unhappy things. I know what they are. God says, all right, you know what they are? Get them out. Now you say, well, I don't know what they are. Well, you ask the chief gardener. You ask the master gardener what your garden looks like in his sight. Lord, where are the stones? Where are the stumps? Where's the clods in the soil in my life? And I guarantee you, you don't want to mess with God, because when you ask Him, He will show you. And then to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You say, well, I'm almost better off than not asking Him what they are and just going on with life as it is. Well, then judgment falls. Then judgment comes. God says, break up your fallow ground. Folks, every one of us, you know what I'm speaking? I'm speaking to a bunch of hearts that if the devil has his way, your heart will become fallow ground. It will become hardened. It will become resistant to the things of God. You see it all the time. You know what happens when somebody gets out of church, when they fall away from God? You know what? You know why that happens? Because the devil has made that heart fallow. And we need to protect ourselves against that, because we're all susceptible to it. We've got to work. We've got to water. We've got to weed. We've got to break up the fallow ground. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our God, this morning it's been simple. But Father, your Word